My name's Alex Drake. And quite frankly, your guess is as good as mine.
Starring Philip Lannister, Keely Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster, Montserrat Lombard, and Daniel Mays. Co-created by Ashley Farrow. Co-created and written by Matthew Graham. BBC, Ashes to Ashes. A tall modern building. Alex looks contemplative.
I understand that emerging from a coma, I understand that one might have difficulty adjusting to the real world.
A sense of dislocation's natural. The place that you went to in your subconscious felt completely real.
But what if it was real? You weren't there. You didn't see them.
Are you still hearing voices?
No.
And are you dreaming about him?
A high-speed car chase through a demolition site. In his red coupe, Gene's in pursuit of two men in a silver car. Both cars come to a stop on open ground, and the two men in stocking masks open fire on Gene with sawn-off shotguns. Gene returns fire, shooting them both. Alex looks wistful as she recalls Gene's rugged good looks and fearless demeanor.
Of course, I'm glad to be back.
But the real world scares you.
Because it's not as real as the one I left.
You're isolating yourself. You sent Molly to stay with her father.
Because I have to deal with this by myself.
So you want to return there?
I thought it was all in my head. But Sam Tyler was in a coma too. He was a copper in the same place. Now, how is that possible? Sam told me when he woke up. He told me that he could hear them begging him for help, and he listened. But what if it is a real place? And what if Sam and I both had a purpose there?
Alex, Sam Tyler is dead. And the world you describe isn't real.
Alex is browsing a rack of DVDs in an electrical store. The sleeve of a DVD entitled Legal Force catches her eye. It features a photo of a gun-toting man in dark glasses who bears a strong resemblance to Gene. Looking uneasy, Alex heads for the exit. As she passes a display of TVs, all the screens suddenly display Ray's face.
Just wake up. The doc stopped the bleeding in your guts weeks ago. I wasn't going to come here. I've got a little girl who's been kidnapped. And what with the gov in hiding, I'm on my own. I mean, I'm doing the best, but they never think that my best's any good. So wake up. Wake up and... help me.
I couldn't get grapes, so I got a melon. I'll leave it here for you. This kidnapping stuff, little Dorothy Blonde, we're all at sea on it, boss. Mom. What with the cover on their own, it's been 3 months now. Oh, Shazza's coming in later. Not together anymore, but that's cool. And again. It's not the same without you anymore, Mom. Can't you wake up and...
Chris's face on screen is replaced by Shaz's.
Bits of melon on the floor, Mom. Do you want me to clean it up? It's not fair. You made things better and then you left us. Now I'm back making bloody tea and biscuits. Should have got a job at Big Friends. If you came back, know you'd help me to.
Alex, look what he's done to you. You don't know me, but I read all about you. You're the best of them, Alex. It's not fair. He did this to you, and I don't want history to repeat itself. I don't want you to end up like... Wake up!
Wakey, wakey, Drakey. Come on, you earned that shot. You hear me, Bowles? Come back to me, I need you.
Now Gene's face is on giant screens in Piccadilly Circus.
Wakey, wakey, Drakey, Drakey. Wake up. Come back to me, I need you.
Drake!
Alex!
Alex! Wake up!
Alex is in a small dark cell. She peers through a hatch in the cell door to see herself lying unconscious in a hospital bed. A small TV mounted on the white tiled wall is showing a news report.
Police in Lancashire say a body found in a shallow grave on farmland may be that of a police officer. They believe it may have lain undiscovered for many years before being found by a group of travellers 2 days ago. A post-mortem is being carried out to establish the cause and likely date of death.
Alex turns to see a khaki-clad, disfigured man in the cell with her.
Wake up! Well, that worked then. Because I had a mate called Brian Batts. Used to get on the Voddy Tees and wind up Sparkle in his own sick. Little tap to the boat race always brought him round with a smile to smile your back. Well, you're gonna like these. They're even clean. What's the matter with you, you dozy mare? You walk straight into the path of my shooter. I don't fire magic bullets, you know. They don't go bending in the air. They said I'd tried to kill you, Bowles, but I know you wouldn't let me down with a team. Lodi and Doyle. I'm the one in the SAS. You can be the one with the girls there. Now get your knickers on, we're leaving.
Drowsily, Alex rips a blood pressure cuff off her arm. Now fully dressed, she takes Jean's arm as they head down a hospital corridor.
I was at home, but I wasn't. I was in ICU. There was a man. It was a young copper. His face was...
When you finish blabbering, you're going to clear my name with D&C.
That's a gynecological procedure, isn't
it? Nothing so glamorous. Discipline and complaints. The rubber healers. Turns out if you shoot a fellow officer, they get a little bit annoyed about it.
Where did you go?
Abroad. The Isle of Wight. That was shit.
So I tried the Costa Brava. She was the best full English I've ever had. Then I thought, why am I running? Gene Hunt doesn't run. I'm in a mess, Bowles.
So am I.
Fighting for my future.
Me too.
Get up, come here.
Gene puts down the half-empty bottle of whiskey he's holding and lifts Alex's top to examine a gunshot wound just above her waist. In a flashback, Gene fires his gun and Alex drops to the ground.
I'm sorry. I could have hit my target, but you fell all wrong.
Sometimes in life you can't help which way you fall.
You do know when I walk through those doors, they're going to come for me.
Yeah. Well, there's only one thing for it. Let's fire up the quattro.
The wraps come off Jean's gleaming red coupe in a disused warehouse. With headlights blazing, Jean and Alex roar out onto a quiet street, then hurtle at high speed through underpasses. They stride into the police station.
Don't worry, I'm sure we'll find Tinkerbell as soon as we bugger me sideways.
You catching flies, skip tea, five sugars if you'd be so kind.
I'm glad to see you've gotten sweeter in the last 3 months, girl.
Ray's in Jean's old office.
What the... Bloody hell.
Mom.
Beneath a photo of Ray on Jean's office door window is a makeshift label displaying his new title, Detective Inspector Carling.
Sis, Dorothy Blonde, kidnapped yesterday morning.
8:21. Parents are on the way. There's been a ransom demand.
Well, we'd better get her back, hadn't we? Who's in charge of this shambles?
I am. I'm a DI now.
DI?
It's not that incredible. DCI Timmons wanted to keep hold of his office, so I thought I'd move.
We didn't think you were coming back, Gov.
Nor did I after the report you gave the inquiry.
Well, they asked all sorts of questions they already knew the answers to.
Rhetorical.
No, it's definitely English.
We've really missed you, Mum.
Right, Dorothy. How was she taken?
She was being walked to school. Three masked men got out of the back of a blue Ford Transit. Could have been a derage, but we haven't got witness corroboration.
Well, it's all going to get a bit busy in here. No doubt D&C will be zooming on over in their Datsun Cherries. You bring the family into my office when they arrive.
But you can't just pick up like nothing's happened, Gov.
Jean looks him up and down.
And Ray, if you come in here again dressed like a maths teacher, I will paint your balls the colour of hazelnuts and inform a bag of squirrels that winter's coming.
Boy! But you were...
Jean steps into his office and slams the door shut. Music plays on a small radio as Alex makes herself a cup of tea.
So, time passed. Molly still hadn't heard from her mum. She...
Hello. I am all right. But I'll be back. I just need to finish something here first. That's why I can't leave. Look, please tell Molly I'm still going to find a way home.
Are you talking to Mum?
Whoever might be listening, Shaz.
What was it like, being unconscious all that time?
It looked like home. But it wasn't. It didn't feel at all real.
This does though, doesn't it? I mean, you're awake now.
Yeah. It's the strangest thing. Because now I'm not awake. And it does feel real.
Oh, well... halfway there.
A red-headed woman.
Excuse me?
Oh, that's Marjorie, the kidnapped girl's stepmom.
I can't.
Marjorie.
There'll be more questions.
Darling, please.
I can't breathe in here.
Is there anything I
Come
can
on.
Do?
Marjorie.
She just needs a moment. I think maybe you should get that bruise looked at.
Yeah, she got that trying to fight them off when they took Lottie.
I should have fought harder. I should
A ransom video.
So say, do the right thing and I will be fine. Don't do the right thing and I will die.
Dottie, there's a ransom demand as well.
No, don't touch it, don't remind
me. Let's play for the market, they normally sound.
It'll be fine, we can smooth that out.
The last card definitely had ransom written at the top of it. I couldn't understand the rest, it was in a code.
Should get one of the techno twats from Scotty Yard to sort that out.
Salvaged enough party cassettes in my time.
Okay. Stand down the techno twat. I think I've got it.
Alex puts the tape into a video recorder. On screen, a small girl holds a large felt-tipped card up to the camera.
Ransom, tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. I don't know what those other numbers mean. Sequences of four.
Bastards don't make it easy. Why do that?
Kidnappers have been known to use biblical references, but they're usually sequences of three, you know, book, chapter, verse.
Where the hell's my filing cabinet gone?
Oh, Ray moved your stuff into storage, Gov.
Oh, thanks for that, Chris.
Gov,
you're a wanted man.
Don't you know it's nice to be wanted? Right, the Blondes. Been married 2 years. Happy couple?
Well, they seem pretty devoted. Dorothy's the kid from the first marriage.
David Blond's got his own firm. Computers or something pointless. We're going to round up his employees.
They've all been interviewed, Gov. And family members.
Could be a pro job.
Nothing is certain until I am up to speed.
Look, you pair can't just walk back here and start. I mean, it's not... D&C are just going to have a fit.
I want my filing cabinet back.
You poor little girl. Sat there all by herself waiting for a dad.
In an interview room with Dottie's parents.
Dot Matrix.
Yeah, microprocessors for arcade games, but now I'm going into 8-bit computers.
Sorry, I don't speak sci-fi.
Dot Matrix after Dottie. She's your inspiration, isn't she? What about her mother?
She died when Dottie was six.
And how did you two meet?
Oh, we were at school together. I married young, so we lost touch. But after my marriage, after it ended, I bumped into David in Tandy's.
Yeah, no one can replace her mother, but Marjorie's made a damn good try.
You made job cuts recently.
Yeah, a few were in a recession, you know.
When anyone turned nasty on you?
No, not at all. David always handles these things sensitively.
Well, have you got money? I mean, why would kidnappers target you?
Well, I have access to funds, you know, but I'm trying to put it all into the business. We're expanding, got a new warehouse development. Look, why the hell are we discussing this? I mean, get out there and find Dotty.
I know. You need to be back with your daughter. Don't worry. I'll find her.
The Ransoms are set of 6 four-number sequences.
Why give Ransom details in code?
Well, Drake says it's the kidnapper's innate desire to show superiority.
You can't just shoot your DI, then waltz back in and take charge like nothing's happened.
Well, normally I'd be inclined to agree with you, Raimondo, but these are unique mitigating circumstances.
Good for you, Chris. Told you reading Doris Lessing broadens the vocabulary.
You two aren't even together and she's got you on the bloody lesbian poetry.
It's good the Gov's back in it.
I was running this whole caboodle while he was in Spain. All I want to hear from him are those three little words.
What, I love you?
Well done, Ray.
There's a man in Jean's office.
Oh, the rubber healers.
Alex,
never hear them coming.
Look what he's done to you.
Hi, DCI Jim Keats. Discipline and complaints.
Can we take a walk, mate?
Alex remembers him as the boyish, bespectacled man who visited her in hospital. Looking taken aback, Alex follows Jean, Jim, and two other men out of the office. Later, in Luigi's.
Signora Drake, my heart, she sings. Canta, canta.
Canta? What the hell is that?
Canta, it's Italian. She sings.
Thank you. Now I know.
You know what?
DCI Hunt didn't intend to kill you during the Douglas Lane robbery. The chemistry between you, it's obvious.
Good, chemistry lesson over, right. I'll be getting back to work.
No, 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 wait. Sit down! What's the matter with you two? What, you think we're in East Berlin or something? Please. Jean.
The two men with Jim resume their seats at the bar, and Jean sits back down at the table with Jim and Alex.
Stupid, it didn't mean to kill me. It was trying to save me.
You heard of Operation Countryman? Destroying the link between the Met and organised crime. Now, don't take it the wrong way. I'm not saying that you folks are corrupt, but quite frankly, this incident puts Fenchurch East on our radar. This is the latest in a long line of, how shall I put it diplomatically, risky operating styles.
No, believe it or not, he's one of the good guys.
If it was me, there'd still be room for the Mavericks. But Newman wants a clean, consistent force. Oh, blimey, O'Reilly. So easy once upon a time, wasn't it? Yeah, I need another career. Nobody likes us. It's bloody depressing.
How many years have you spent on the beat?
Oh, come on. Are you that surprised that I'm here? You fled to Spain.
You ever even held a truncheon or a pair of cuffs?
Criminals flee to Spain. Look. I know you're clean now, but I've got to convince a few other people. I'm not going to make you turn in your badge, so until this blows over, go home. Full pay.
Jean glances at Alex as he considers Jim's offer.
On one condition. I leave here alone. I don't need an escort here from Cannon and Bloody Ball.
Yeah, well, I only take him out to stop him chewing the carpet tiles.
Jean gets to his feet.
Jean. Thank you.
Jim offers his hand, and Jean shakes it with a firm clasp. Then, with a final glance at Alex, he heads out. Jim lets out a sigh of relief and sips his hot drink.
You came to see me in hospital.
I thought Jean had tried. I was worried about you, Alex.
You don't know me.
I know you can make a difference here.
You see, that's what I try and do. I try and make a difference here, to get home. But you see, there's something else, and Jean is at the heart of it.
Look, don't worry. Jean will be fine. I got it covered. Damn thing. Look at that. My watch stopped at 9:06 exactly.
The time displayed on a wall-mounted flip clock in Alex's hospital room.
You know, you talked
What did you mean?
Forget it for now.
Another copper?
Look, I just need DCI Hunt to see the severity of this and take it seriously. And when he does, that'll help him. Iron sharpeth iron, you know? Sorry, Book of Proverbs, I think.
You know your Bible?
No, it comes with my upbringing. I must know almost every word. I'm here to help Alex. You know?
Dead copper on the news. Dead copper in front of me. Why?
The TV in Alex's apartment suddenly displays a snowstorm of white noise, and Alex kneels in front of it.
Is there anybody there? You know, it's weird. I can see why Sam wanted... why he needed to come back here. There's something about this world, about my place in it, that's important. Who are you? What do you want? Do you want help? Is that it? I can't help you. I can't even help myself. Can you tell me what any of it means?
I must confess to being an Audi Quattro fan. When the car first came out in 1980, I was tremendously impressed by its blood and thunder performance. By the way, it put its considerable power down on the road. And
Alex writes Jean in block capitals on a notepad and underlines it. At the office...
Chris?
First number could be book, then chapter, then verse, then...
then word. 1, 6, 15, 26. Genesis. Chapter 6, verse 15.
First word in that Bible verse, then.
The breadth of it, 50 cubits. 50, square 50. Next one. It's 55. 1, 5, 18. Hold on. Timothy is the 55th book. Chapter 1, verse 5. When I called remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandma. Grandmother's written us 2 words. 50 grand. I think we just found our ransom demand. Oh, Mum, I bloody love having you back.
Later, Alex is briefing the team on the deciphered ransom.
Okay, 50 grand cloth bag behind hammers. These words form a simple set of instructions. Any ideas?
50 grand in a cloth bag behind some hammers.
West Ham, the hammers, Upton Park, tomorrow morning.
You're not supposed to be in here.
You wouldn't listen, would he?
Look, Gov, can I... can I just have a quick word? This is not...
I hate to say it, Gov, but she's right. You can't stay.
Yes, I can. I just have to stand here with my feet slightly apart.
Will you just stop trying to prove a point to everybody, please? This isn't a game.
Do you know, I missed you, but now you're back, I'm getting all annoyed again. Right, Ray, I want us crawling through Dot Matrix Limited. Debtors, creditors, cash flowed a lot.
You've been through all that stuff already, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, as much as we need to.
Well, it won't be enough.
But I was thinking, now we know the drop, we could pull off a sting. Wire up David Blonde. We could stay out of sight and go in when we hear the switcheroo.
It's risky. But the clock's against us, it could be our best shot. You could head it up, Ray.
The sting? Me?
Well, you can't go running operations on the streets, Gov. DNC will have your knackers in a vice.
No, you're right. It's still annoying, but you're right. Ray, armed or bareback?
Armed.
Set it up.
You've got it, Gov. You're going to do what they say. You can hand over the money, but we'll have a wire on you. The moment we know Dorothy's safe, we swoop in and nick him.
No way, Jose.
It's a foolproof plan, David.
No, absolutely not. We know what we have to do. We give them the money and get back my Dottie.
If you're wired, it means that we can listen in from a greater distance. Marjorie, you can see why we have to do this, can't you?
Dave, maybe...
No. All right, I don't want to risk it.
I've met these types of people before. They're called scumbag bastards. Now, we have to bring them down. It's your duty to help us.
My duty? Isn't to you, I'm afraid. It's to my daughter.
Just leave it, Ray.
Yeah, but we've
got... we can't force them, can we?
Come on, sweetheart. Come on.
Marge.
You could have talked him into it. You know all about feelings and crying and stuff. You've compromised my operation, Mom.
Hey. You just call me Mom, Inspector?
No. Of course not. Shit.
So, what have you got for me, Chris?
Well, they got this warehouse a couple of miles from here for storing computer chips in from Japan. That's where all these are supposed to go. Only the warehouse isn't ready for them.
Why not?
Health and safety, they had to clear the workforce out a couple of months back.
Anything we can use?
Well, business is keeping its head above water, just.
The book over there, like something slipped. David Blonde's put his mortgage into Marjorie's name.
God, he has bankruptcy, I suppose. Chris, I'm sorry about you and Shaz.
Yeah, me too. Just couldn't see eye to eye and she gets so angry these days. Anyway, best to lose a lover and keep a friend.
Has your IQ doubled since I've been away?
No, Stokes bless you. Can I have a crack at Missile Command?
No.
He moved his house into his new wife's name, like the fella said. But this is even more interesting. In her previous marriage, she was Marjorie Soper.
Soper? Why do I know that name?
And she was married to Gary Soper. Housebreaking and blackmail, sent down on a five stretch.
Yeah, I broke out the scrubs about 5 months ago while they were taking him to the dentist. Nicked a car, smashed it up, the pro.
Now he's permanently spazzed up in hospital.
So Blonde needs cash flow, but he can't go back to the bank. And Marjorie has old underworld connections. Not quite Terry and June anymore, are they?
David Blonde going to the underworld for money is just ridiculous.
Gav, phone call.
I'm not here.
Where's DNC?
Well, I'm definitely not here.
But they say you're not at home.
No, because I'm here, Shaz.
They want to know if you're here.
Well, I'm not!
OK.
Right, so what if Blonde visited Gary Soper to borrow cash? I mean, Soper would know the right loan sharks to go to.
I've had a lot of liars in my time. David Blonde isn't one of them.
You know, if you were that clever, you wouldn't be a copper, you'd be a High Court judge.
His fear is genuine. His love and his desire to be back with his daughter, whatever, is genuine. I'm sorry if that doesn't suit you, but tough.
This is me acting on a hunch. Deal with it.
Gene grabs his coat from his office and fixes Alex with a defiant look as he strides out. Alex follows him. In Gene's coupe.
Your hunch is to see Gary Soper, which makes no sense to me.
Soper would know where to go to get cash. No questions asked. It's the kind of deal, body, where a man's door ends up as capital.
You do know that Gary Soper's medical write-off, don't you?
Yeah, well, most cons they get off at a doctor's. Best way of doing some cushy time.
In a hospital room.
Jesus.
Lies a man with horrific burns.
Gary Soper, DCI Hunt, DI Drake. Did David Blonde come to see you, Gary? He needed cash, no questions. And you know the sort of folk that would take his daughter if he couldn't pay up. Stop playing hospitals with me, Gary, and help me out.
Gov. Gov, the man's got 90% burns and severe brain damage. He barely knows we're here.
Gene pretends to punch Soper in the face, but Soper doesn't flinch. He then peers into Soper's blank eyes before reluctantly accepting Alex's diagnosis with a grunt and heading out.
You asked about handcuffs. I could use them on you right now.
Try it, Jim.
I'm not looking for trouble.
But the Gov really wanted to be here. This case is important to us.
This department needs me, Keith. You know, in fact, I am this department.
What's really important to you, Gene? The girl or your career?
Oh, sod the mind games. You'll move, officer.
I have to set up an investigation in CID. I'll need my own office. I can't avoid that. I do not want to see you on the streets, and you are 100,000% banned from using a firearm. I've got 2 A-levels. He hasn't. I should have won that round. I said I could help you. I can. I'm a bit of a superstitious person, and I happen to agree with you, Alex. You are back for a reason. But maybe it's not to help him or any of them. Maybe it's to help me.
You almost sound like you know what I'm going through. How could you? Do you?
I'll tell you one thing. Gene Hunt is at the heart of this. You're all right. We'll keep talking.
Right, pay attention. The drop zone will be here. Right. Oi! Billy the Flid, drop zone.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Gov. Right, there'll be cover here and cover back here.
You mind, Luigi? We're trying to work here.
So am I. This is a restaurant, not the who dares he wins.
Look, we don't have a wiretap, and the Gov can't officially take the lead on this, so we go, 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 on my signal. All right?
Gov, you've got something more on Gary Soper, 1977, acquitted for the attempted kidnap of a bookie's son.
I say it's a coincidence. Gary's a write-off. Couldn't be involved.
Oh, aye, aye.
Pizza. I see you're all worried sick about Dottie.
To Alex.
Can we talk?
Marjorie takes Alex aside.
I'll wear the wire.
Your ex, Gary, was involved in a kidnapping 6 years ago.
Oh, right. That's reared its ugly head again, is it? It's never proved. Case was dropped. Don't judge me over Gary. When he was sent down, it was my chance to marry the right man.
Is there any reason we should be following up this lead with Gary?
When Gary was inside, there was this Methodist bloke. Held Bible studies, but they're also like secret exchanges for snout and whatnot. Gary sort of got inspired. Genuinely believed that he'd become a Christian, a Methodist. This man was very charismatic. Gary told him David had money. This Methodist bloke was doing time for kidnap.
What was his name?
I don't know. Just do what you want with it. You know, in my old life, I heard hundreds of stories about Gene Hunt. He's a copper bottom bastard. If you think you really know him, you're in for a terrible shock.
MB units are in position with uniforms set up on the far side of the stadium, Gov. All set, ready to go on your word. Over.
Right, Chris, sit tight and don't pick your nose. Make your move as soon as Blonde has left the house. Over.
Chris watches David give Marjorie a farewell kiss on their doorstep, then get into his car and drive away. Chris waits for David to drive past him, then gets out of his car and goes over to the house.
He's gone to get the ransom money. We haven't got long.
Let's get inside, Marjorie. I'm going to attach your microphone to your brasserie. It might be best if you do it.
Reporting, please, Elizabeth Road.
Yeah, we have the blonde vehicle just turning at the end now. Not a dicky bird.
Don't loiter, mate. Keep moving. When your mother's asking if your head's nice and warm.
Ray's dressed as a road sweeper. He puts on a cap.
Yeah, you shouldn't be here, Gov. We made Jim a promise.
Oh, Jim now, is it?
Oh, great. Why don't you just rent yourself a helicopter gunship and be done with it?
Just relax. I've shot all the innocent people I care to for one lifetime.
Ray checks his gun in a pocket, then sees David's car turn in through some gates.
Blonde, all units, sit tight.
Keeping his head down, Ray starts to push a green cart with a brush and spade fixed to its side. David pulls up and gets out of his estate car. As he scans an empty car park, Marjorie pulls up behind him.
What the hell are you doing?
I love her too. And I love you. We're in this together.
David nuzzles Marjorie's face and kisses her cheek. A blue van appears from the far corner of the car park.
Transit, point on.
Ray fingers his gun nervously as the van squeals to a halt in the middle of the car park. Everyone stares expectantly at the van, its engine idling.
Go, go, go!
What is he doing?
It's too soon, it's too soon!
Ray sprints towards the van. A bundle is thrown out of the passenger door as it reverses, then speeds away.
Can you hear me? Help!
Dottie, Dottie!
Help!
It's not her, it's a dummy! What are you all doing here?
Why didn't you wait?
You were in a wire. After everything we said, you were wearing a wire.
I'm sorry. I had to do it.
It's all right, sweetheart.
I had to do it.
It's all right. She was probably in that van.
All I wanted to do was follow their orders and give them the money. But you had to bring your guns and mess it all up. You've killed my daughter!
They'll be rattled and they'll be angry. But they've come this far and they won't want to blow it now. But they need her alive. She's their only bargaining chip.
Talk to me, Christopher.
Pandas want it on the estate, Gov.
Gene hurls away his walkie-talkie in frustration. As David comforts his sobbing wife, Alex goes to examine the child-sized dummy wrapped in thick blue insulating material. Attached to its body is a videotape of Dottie in a red gingham dress, reading from a sheet of paper.
You have let me down and put me in even greater danger. The fee is now 60,000. You have one last chance. We will send you another location. The drop is 8 p.m. tonight. If the fuzz are involved, I will die. If you have any more to do with them, I will die. Daddy, help me.
I've put a tally in for her. That was nice.
You'll be all right. She doesn't look hungry. Looks like they're feeding well.
They've been watching you, David.
Yeah, well, they can watch me as I leave the station and I have nothing more to do with you.
Look, I'm sorry how that went this morning, but we need to talk about other possibilities or the scenarios that might have led to this.
Well, what?
Have you been straight with us? Did you use one of Marjorie's old underworld contacts to get yourself a bit of a bridging loan?
Don't be stupid. You think I'd hide something like that from you now? Listen, I'd admit to being a serial rapist if I thought it'd get my Dottie back.
Hold your horses.
You practically killed my little girl, Carly. Now we're going to go home and sit tight and wait for our instructions from the kidnappers.
You sure you
want? I don't want to be seen standing next to a copper.
Ray sighs.
You didn't mess up. It was the heat of the moment.
Don't, all right?
Just trying to help.
No.
Put a tail on them, just in case the kidnappers...
We can't jeopardize Dorothy again. We have to go about this from a completely different angle. Ray, I want every television rental shop in the district to get a visit. The guy on the VHS had a bronchial infection or something. Someone might remember somebody like that buying or renting a telly. Check out as well who might have bought a camcorder.
What? Running TV, VHS...
Specialist TV shop might do them, find out. We know the drop is at 8. Clock is ticking, ladies and gents.
A large digital display unit.
Got it from the police, Jim.
We got a gym.
Gov, we've had a shout. They found the transit on the estate abandoned.
Right, we'll get forensics down with a talcum powder. Stick it up there.
Got neither oven gloves. It's been torched.
Mom, this fella's fixing this central heating on the second floor.
Thanks, Chaz. It's okay. You're not in any trouble. I'd just like to know what this is.
Terry, I want a list of Gary Soper's known associates. Chop, chop.
Shop dummy was from a warehouse in Wapping, just one of a dozen that they had outside in a skip cell. Any Wally could have walked by and pinched it.
The dummy was wrapped in blue asbestos. Oh, come on. Asbestos? It causes asbestosis. It's lethal. It rips your lungs to shreds.
Excuse me.
Blue asbestos? Oh, come on. Don't tell me. None of you have ever heard.
You're a one-woman open university course, aren't you? Bamba Gascoigne in drag. That bloke with the cuff.
The one on the tape, maybe.
Terry, also find out if any of Soper's cronies have come into contact with asbestos.
Gary Soper, I've told you. How many times? The man is a burnt vegetable.
He found religion in the nick. The notes are all Bible references.
What about the man Gary met inside? The one that Marjorie told me about. You know, the Methodist teacher with links to kidnapping.
Will she have a name?
No, afraid not.
Oh, wonderful. So, we're looking for a bloke who's done time. Well, that narrows it down to most of planet Earth and the whole of Sunderland.
I can trace him.
Here's the current list of lowlife stuff.
Raimondo.
Yep, see what I can shake out of him.
You know, I know what you're doing. Hassling old felons, making a lot of noise. You're re-announcing yourself to the underworld government. It's all a load of bollocks.
Just work with me, Drake.
You see, working together is fine when it's what you want. You know, has it ever occurred to you that if you gave your team a little bit of respect, a little bit of freedom, that they might actually flourish?
I did. I put Ray in charge, and look what happened.
You know, I'm glad I came back. This place needs me. They're crying out for me.
She's turning into the Claire Rayner show, and I've had enough. Right, 5 hours and 42 minutes left on that girl's life.
5 hours, 41.
Yes, thank you very much, the speaking ruddy bloody clock.
CID.
Chris steps into the office from a rowdy corridor.
It's all getting a bit juicy fruit out there.
Gary Soper's old cronies aren't going to tell us anything. They don't bloody know anything. Any luck?
Well, the Scrubs reckon there's quite a few of these Bible groups that spring up in the slammer.
Did you mention the kidnap angle?
Yeah. And they had a William Carr Burton doing 8 years for attempted kidnap. Methodist. And beats me how a devout Christian can also be a criminal, though.
Ask a Catholic choir boy.
Don't know any. Do you want me to pull some in?
Carr Burton?
Well, he was released a month ago. He was assigned to a Methodist hostel in Stepney.
Under 3 hours. I think we'd better talk to Mr. Carr Burton.
Chris follows Alex through a door beneath some stairs in a wide hallway and down some steps into a basement.
This is the police.
A man in black underpants.
What are you doing?
Police. Hands where we can see them.
Well, he's not hiding any weapons, Chris. He's not wearing any clothes.
Still, police. Hands away from your smalls.
What's all this stuff?
This morning's Bible study. We meet every Thursday.
Will Carr Burton. Where is he?
Will Carr Burton?
Yes, where is he?
Hopefully he's with Christ.
Where do we find this Christ?
Christ isn't a nickname, is it, Chris? He means the Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Will Carr Burton's dead.
He had 3 heart attacks in prison. You get quick health care in the Scrubs. Out here, ambulance took too long. Died 2 weeks ago.
Do you recognise this man?
Chris, there's absolutely no point whatsoever in...
Gary Soper. Saw him at Bible study inside. He phoned here one time to talk to Will. He didn't leave his name, but I knew the voice.
Gary Soper's lying in a hospital bed with brain damage.
Well, a Gary Soper called here a few weeks back, and he wasn't brain damaged.
Gene opens his office door.
Shaz.
I know, Gov. T for 15, and I'll put the bourbons on a plate.
The word.
Shaz steps into Gene's office, and he shuts the door.
Listen, Drake's always gone on about what a smart little plonk you are, so, how do you fancy a spot of surveillance?
Shaz watches Marjorie put a bag of rubbish in a bin outside the blonde's house.
Shaz, what's going on? Talk to me. Over.
Looks like they're still waiting for a contact from the kidnappers.
Still no movement of the blondes. Any joy here?
We've had it out with anyone who's ever had any dealings with Gary Soper. Nothing. Look, Gov. Maybe if we let the exchange take place. Just let these swines take the dough and hand the girl over. At least she'll be safe.
No, she'll have seen them, heard them, be aware of her surroundings. My spidey senses tell me once they got their money, they'll kill her.
What are we down to?
About 2 hours 10.
D.I. Drake for you.
What is it?
A please wouldn't kill you.
Please talk now, you mare.
It's Gary Soper. He's been making phone calls.
The digital display counts down in speeded-up time.
Ray, search the room.
Will you just listen to what I have to say?
I listen morning, noon and night. It's called Radio Drakey, broadcasting 24 hours a bloody day.
A rosary.
Lizzie, what do you want this?
Don't look so surprised. He said he found religion.
He's Methodist Christianity. This man's a Catholic. This isn't Gary Soper.
Marjorie turns out of her driveway.
She's turned left out of the house. That means she'll be hitting Queen Anne Road.
Moments later, David drives out.
No, wait up. Mr. Blonde's going the other way.
I'm reckoning Aunt Veggie in there. It was used as a decoy to drive the getaway car by Gary. Trouble is, car crashes and ends up burned to a crisp.
So now everybody thinks Gary's in a hospital bed, but in fact he's lying low. Until, of course, he needs some money, and then he contacts Carr Burton for some kidnap advice.
Marjorie's got to know that's not a ruby in there.
She's in on it, Ray. It's been Marjorie all along.
They phoned us this time. I'm sorry, but we knew you tried to follow us, so David sent me out as a decoy.
Mrs. Blonde, where did he go?
He's going to be making the switch in an hour. They're not going to hurt her. She's going to be all right.
Jean's speeding coupe.
Deep down, she wants to confess. That's why she told us about Carr Burton. Why she wanted a wire. She almost wants us to stop this because she can't. She's grappling with herself internally.
Ray's got a film like that.
50 minutes.
Stop!
Yes, hello, what?
Wherever he's holding Dorothy. I bet he's been holding her there for a long time.
Just put Marjorie in, wire a bra strap to a fuse box. She'll talk.
We are running out of time, Raimondo.
She's got David so scared that nothing is going to stop him handing over that cash. Chris, when we were at Dot Matrix, why was it so chaotic?
Because of the tempo of modern life.
Don't overthink it, Chris.
Chips. Boxes of little chips from Japan. They were meant to be kept in the warehouse, but they had to clear the workforce out a couple of months back.
Because of a health and safety scare.
Look, I tend to find that stories like this work better on Nationwide.
Somewhere Marjorie told him to go that he wouldn't be disturbed. The last place they'd think to look, the other warehouse.
With less than 50 minutes left on the countdown clock, Gene pulls up outside the Dot Matrix warehouse. Inside, some overhead lights are switched on, revealing a large empty ground floor. Gene and Alex split up. Alex heads for a set of stairs, leading to a raised open walkway. At the end of the walkway, Alex throws open a red door, the other side of which is a sheer drop. She steps back in shock. Ray and Chris are exploring a blue-tiled area. Ray spots a plum-coloured garment lying on the floor by a wall and picks it up.
Guff! We found Dorothy's coat.
Shit.
Water drips from the ceiling in a dark corridor. Alex makes her way cautiously along it by torchlight. In another part of the warehouse, Gene runs his torch beam across pipes and machinery. Alex's torch beam picks out a Dot Matrix sign on a wall. Shining her torch to the right of it, she becomes aware of a faint noise. Alex steps over to the wall and places an ear against it. On the other side of the wall, Dottie is watching TV. She sits up in alarm as the wall suddenly caves in, then cowers as Jean steps through a cloud of dust to grapple with her captor.
Hold your breath, it's asbestos.
That is sofa. Sorry to barge into your home like this, but you're nicked.
Thank you.
That's okay. Are you all right?
Dottie.
I told her I'd come back for you.
Right, this time, Gary, make the most of your time inside. Try taking up a few hobbies like basket weaving or gang rape.
So much. Thank you.
Alex's bottom lip trembles as she watches David hug his daughter. Later, at the blonde's house, Marjorie walks slowly downstairs. Alex and Shaz are waiting for her in the hallway.
Get out of my house.
Dottie. You okay, darling? See, you didn't hurt her. She's not hurt, you didn't.
Get out of
Don't
my head! House!
Don't shout at her!
It's all right. I'm gonna go now. It wasn't really me you were interested in, Dave. She was everything. That's how it should be.
I don't want to hear it.
Shaz, would you mind going sitting with them, please, until the ambulance arrives?
Mom.
Shaz shoots Marjorie a look of contempt.
You know, the first time I ever met you, you were running. You've wanted to escape from this from day one, haven't you?
Gary could have gotten away when he broke out. But he came to find me. It's a hell of a thing to be that honored.
You actually let him fracture your cheek. God.
I love him.
Even though he made you be part of all this.
I fell for him from day one. Sometimes you can't help which way you fall.
Alex looks thoughtful as Marjorie heads past her through the open front door. Alex turns to follow, then stops and looks back at Dottie's sad, bewildered features.
It's to a blinding result!
Yeah. Good day's work from all of you. Under difficult circumstances. Ray.
Yes, Guff?
It's a tough call this morning. I know it didn't pan out, but you could have dithered and you didn't. As Mrs. Lady Woman over there is keen to remind me, you made a snap decision and you acted on it.
Sometimes that's all we can do, so well done, Inspector.
Cheers, Guff.
Gene steps back into his office and shuts the door. Shaz goes over to Alex, who's perched on a cabinet.
What's on your mind, Mom? This team. You, Chris, Ray. You're all on my mind. I don't understand. No, nor do I. Maybe I'm here to help. The Gov too. He's at the centre of all of this. Well, who's going to help you then?
Jim walks in.
Oh, don't do that. Don't give me the silent treatment. Not when I went to the trouble of bringing this.
A bottle of bubbly.
Pass it round.
Ray takes the bottle from him. Jim removes his specs.
Look, just gonna say it. You proved me wrong today. All of you. DCI Hunt, most of all.
Jim smiles at Alex.
This is a station of mavericks. That means that officially we're going to assess your suitability. No, it's a big but. I'm in charge of assessing you, and heaven help me, oh, I've got a soft spot for the old ways. OK? So, can we see if we can't work this thing out together? And then, you know, do you know what? I'm boring myself. Come on, let's have a drink, OK?
Come on, drinks. One of you Herberts, get me my filing cabinet out of storage, please. Thank you very much.
Ignoring Jim, Gene retreats back into his office, then looks surprised when Jim walks in and closes the door behind him. The two men eye each other for a moment.
I hate you. I can't help it. I hate what you stand for. Mousetrap.
Maybe you prefer water.
No, thank you. The laziness, the brutality, the hypocrisy, and as for your team, some of them could have made good coppers, but you've eroded them too much.
Jim swigs the glass of whiskey Gene's handed him, then turns to look out through the window in Gene's office door. He acknowledges Chris with a nod and mimics firing a gun at him with a pointed finger. Reflected in the glass, Chris gives a thumbs up.
Idiots. Third-raters, slackers. They'll still be getting pissed while I dismantle the station around them.
When you think you're up to that, do you, Jim?
That's not about them. Not really.
Jim pulls down a roller blind.
It's about you, Hunt. About what you've done in the past.
As Alex tries to shift a filing cabinet in a storeroom, a file drops to the floor and a photo falls out. Alex bends down to pick it up. It's a photo of Sam Tyler.
See, maybe Alex Drake was an accident. Maybe. She thinks it was. But you do have a nasty temper, my friend, and not everyone's walked away from that.
And a good dart-throwing arm. Don't forget my 180.
You think you're so clever? So special, so needed, so damn right. Now, you fooled everyone into believing in you. But I have the horrible, unpopular job of showing the world what you really are. The things you've done, oh, they won't want to believe it. Because they love you and they think that they know you. They'll hate me for it. But in the end, they will see. As sad as that will be for them, they will see. I know what you did 3 years ago. I know.
Sam's file contains a typewritten report with many of the words blanked out. Alex looks up with a start as a figure appears in the doorway. A shadow falls across the disfigured side of the man's face.
you're going to bring me down might tell me that.
You see, that's what's ironic. You can't leave here no matter what happens. This place defines you, which means you're going to have to sit here and watch me close your little kingdom forever. And you on the scrap heap. Wow. I just hope I can help Alex before it's too late.
Come on, Goff.
Boost time are wasting.
Good idea, right? Let's have a drink, eh? Right? Gene?
Why not?
Alex returns to the office looking shaken. She slips Sam's file into the top drawer of her desk.
Been out of hospital 2 days, Alex. Please try to look after yourself. I want to help you. I really do. The things you hold dear. You know, they might not be so good for you.
And I'm here to
find out the truth.
Jim's poured some bubbly into 2 mugs. He hands one to Alex and raises the other in the gesture of a toast as Jean looks on. Alex casts an uneasy glance towards Jean's office. A pensive Jean stares out through vertical blinds at a rain-streaked window.
I'm not talking about it.
Why?
Sam Tyler was a friend of mine. Sam Tyler died. End of.
6 young women murdered over a 3-year period, each of them branded somewhere on their body with the shape of a crescent.
Oh, my God. I'm sick of it.
The Crescent Moon Dating Agency.
I'm about to invent speed dating.
What?
My name's Jim, and I've been looking for love in all the wrong places.
I'm resigning from the Metropolitan Police. No questions, no arguments. I've made my decision.
Amanda!
Amanda! Just...